Little child suffers a nightmare and goes running into his mother's and father's room for comfort to escape the terror that's totally within his own little mind. An elfin calf is chained and staked that no matter how hard it pulls and tries, it cannot escape because of its diminutive size. The child grows, but the fears are highlighted in nightmares, and his nightmares may never go away. The elephant grows to a 10,000-pound behemoth, but is still held captive by that same flimsy chain and stake. The fears are not real. The chain is hardly strong enough, hardly adequate, to hold that elephant. But the limitations and the reality are self-made restraints. You go out to your field work congregations, out to vicarage, and eventually out to congregations as pastors and deaconesses with a gut-wrenching reality that, gee, I just may screw things up. I may make a mistake. I may insult someone. I may kick somebody off. I may make a total fool out of myself. Well, I want to tell you this morning, you know, at heart, I'm a pastor. And I want to give you reassurance. I want to give you some comfort. Don't worry about it. You are going to do all of those things. You're going to screw up. You're going to tick somebody off. You're going to foul something up. You're going to be less than what they think you should be. That's just the reality of what we're doing. Every one of your predecessors have done it. I have done it, and you're going to do it too. Get over it. You can agonize over this reality, be like the adult elephant, sure that escape is impossible. You can be totally afraid of trying because if I don't try, I'm not going to fail. You can be afraid of change and therefore keep everything the same so I don't tick anyone off. Or I can listen to the Lord's words this morning through the prophet who says, "Who are you that you are afraid?" When we're afraid of the future, if we're afraid of trying, if we're afraid to witness, afraid to go out into the harvest fields among the downtrodden, among the prisoners, among the poor and the forgotten, we're taking ourselves in reality far too seriously. We're elevating ourselves to positions far above ourselves and far beyond our pay grades. Who are you to be afraid? Like your masters of your own life. Like you're beyond the reach of the caring of your Heavenly Father. Who are you to be afraid like you're left alone to fend for yourselves, a defenseless, a lone lamb among the midst of wolves? The fact is, through Jesus Christ, you're not homeless waifs, but travelers with Jesus. The fact is, you're not beyond the reach and the care of Jesus Christ, but the beneficiaries of his indwelling. The fact is, you are so important and precious in the sight of God that he wants you to spend all of eternity with him. That's how important you are to the Lord. So who are you to be afraid? When Christ has descended into the depths of hell to proclaim the victory, who has burst forth from the tomb after suffering immeasurably on the cross to give you life and liberty and courage because he is with you always. So who are you to be afraid? This is the same Jesus that died with you on his mind, who knew and knows you by name. This is the Jesus that overcame death and the devil to give you life eternally, not merely a few days on this spoiled earth, but forever in his kingdom, forever at his table, forever in his presence. It's you who are invited to come before the very throne of grace. So who are you to be afraid? You are the chosen, the powerful people of God that has absolutely no reason to be afraid, but can speak boldly and directly the saving message of Jesus Christ. couple of weeks ago, I was in my physician's office, not feeling particularly top of the world. There was a man sitting over on the side, and this little lady, maybe about this tall, came in. She was probably in her early 80s, and she sat next to this fellow. And she started chatting him up and what his life was like and what he was doing. Well, it was just before Christmas, and of course, she asked him, where are you going to church on Christmas? And that was about it. Well, he started going into a long lament on how he was in grade school. He was raised as a Presbyterian, but the teacher asked him what he was, and he couldn't spell Presbyterian, so he said, I'm a Jew. And he realized at that point, it didn't make any difference what he was. Well, this little lady didn't want to accept that at all. And she started giving a strong and powerful witness. You know that Jesus loves you. You just have to invite him into your life. You just have to say the believer's prayer. Now, you may not want to do it here. She goes on and on and on. Wait until you get home. Well, this barrage went on for about 15 minutes. And finally, the fellow turned around and said, Lady, zip it. Nobody wants to listen to your garbage. Amazing how Satan's tongue can lash out. Now, I'm certainly not advocating her evangelical approach, but her courage and her concern. Although it wasn't well espoused, I must say that at least it was admirable to me. She was fearless in her pursuit, regardless of her adversary. She was not afraid. So who are you to be afraid when you've been claimed in the waters of baptism, welcomed into the very kingdom of heaven, drawn into that intimate relationship of father and child with the divine? We're all human, though, and we all have our frailties. So when you're afraid, don't forge it into a chain that restrains you needlessly. Do not give it power it does not possess, but rather flee. Flee to the waiting arms of Christ for comfort and reassurance. In Christ, learn again that there is no reason to be afraid. Seize those opportunities that abound to testify in word and deed to him who covered you with the shadow of his hand, saying to Zion and to you, you are my people. This morning and henceforth, go boldly forth and in confidence. You are free at last. There is nothing for which to be afraid. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.